We're all about cheese next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and we'll be discussing artisan cheeses of Wisconsin next with Jeannie Carpenter of Oregon, Wisconsin. She's been blogging about cheese for the past 3 years, launched an organization called Wisconsin Cheese Originals, and you can find her blog at cheeseunderground.blogspot.com. Jeannie, welcome back.
Hi. Thanks, Larry.
Really great to have you back. For those who don't know, tell us about Wisconsin Cheese Originals.
Oh, sure. It's a brand new organization I launched in March. I kind of explain it as slow food for people who like cheese. We do about 4 different events a year where we tour cheese plants. We bring in cheesemakers to give talks. We learn about cheese. Most importantly, we eat a lot of really good cheese.
Oh, and you've got this blog.
Yeah. This my Cheese Underground blog started about 3 years ago, just as a way to kind of get the story of Wisconsin cheesemakers out there, because we weren't getting a lot of coverage from the media on our really cool cheeses. And it's turned into this kind of thing all its own. I have about 4,000 people around the world reading it, get questions all the time. People want my advice, and it's just sort of become this thing all its own. It's fun, though.
It's been a lot of fun for you. Well, I tell you what, if you have a question for Jeannie, or comment about cheese and our artisan cheeses, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org and get in touch with us that way. That would work as well. What have you got coming up for events? Event coming up in the near future. You'll be going to Texas, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. The American Cheese Society annual conference and competition is the first week in August. That's where about a couple thousand people from around North America gather to talk and eat cheese. I'm doing a couple presentations there. So that'll be a whole week of eating nothing but cheese. I'll be in a cheese coma by the time I get back. Well, won't eat a lot of dairy for about a week. And then in November, of course, I have my my first annual original cheese festival coming online. Tickets are going to be going on sale for that in just 3 weeks. So that's pretty exciting that it's all finally coming together and going to happen.
And that's the first annual.
Yes, yeah, November 6th and 7th in the Monona Terrace in Madison.
And that's good. And we can talk some more about that as we move along today. But the artisan cheeses in Wisconsin, we're really getting to be well known for our cheeses, aren't we?
You know, we are. We used to be the land of orange commodity cheddar. And I did bring some orange cheddar with me today.
Yeah, I'm looking at it hungrily.
But the cool thing about that is even our cheddars really are no longer all commodity. We've kind of metamorphosized into this specialty niche arena. And that's frankly because our cheesemakers can make more money on specialty and artisan cheeses.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to do anything for a living when you're not making money? So it's been a really neat transition to watch. Not only are we getting some really cool cheeses out of it, but our cheesemakers are making some money.
Well, we've got 127 cheese plants in the state, if I'm not mistaken, and 88 of them are doing artisan cheeses.
Yeah, well, 88 are doing specialty cheeses.
Specialty cheeses,
yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah, and the difference between artisan and specialty is artisan is really limited to small batch handcrafted cheeses, where specialty has a much broader definition. That can include like a Monterey Jack that's flavored with peppercorns, for example. So specialty cheeses are often a really good gateway to introduce people who maybe have only eaten, you know, Velveeta their entire lives. We get them on specialty cheese, and then we start hooking them into the artisan cheeses.
Yeah. Well, you were a Velveeta girl as a little girl. That's what you grew up on, wasn't
it? Yeah. For some, I don't know, unknown reason, you know, I grew up on a farm between Belmont and Mineral Point. And, you know, I remember going to the creamery to buy butter, but I don't remember ever going anywhere to buy cheese. We had, you know, we had the stock green Tupperware container with Velveeta cheese in the fridge, and that was what we ate.
And how did you get involved then in the great cheeses?
I was lucky enough to start working for the Dairy Business Innovation Center, and I still do communications for them. They, with my journalism and communications background, they kind of recruited me to kind of launch their communications for what in 2003 was really the beginning of a reinvigoration of Wisconsin dairy. Since then, we've opened or helped launch 43 new artisan and specialty cheese plants, helped another 36 existing small, medium, and large folks expand. So I grew up on a beef farm, and now I'm talking about dairy for a living.
Well, you brought, as you said, you brought some cheese, and maybe we can use that as an introduction to talk about a couple of the cheese makers.
Sure.
And what do we have here?
Sure. You know, I think I'll talk about, we'll save the orange cheddar, because that's actually a 10-year cheddar from Hook's, and that's got a serious kick of flavor. So we'll do that one second. The first one I brought is actually a brand new cheese. It's called Evalon, E-V-A-L-O-N. It's a goat milk cheese, and it's perfect for folks. A lot of times I will give talks at festivals and cheese places, and I say a cheese is made out of goat, and people kind of, you know, wrinkle up their noses and go, oh, I don't like goat cheese. And this is one of those goat cheeses that is a great introduction to people, especially kids, because it's mild enough that you can detect the goat flavor, but it's got a sophisticated enough what I would call a finish at the back end, that cheese afsanos, you know, still like this cheese. So do you want to try it?
Yeah, let me try that.
Okay.
And where is it? Who makes it?
Yeah, so this is a great story of a partnership of how our Wisconsin folks are working. The cheese or the milk is coming from a herd of goats milked by Larry and Clara Hedrick near Chilton, Wisconsin. They have about 230 goats on their farm. They're also members of the Wisconsin Quality Goat Cooperative. And about a year ago, they decided to partner with Saxon Homestead Creamery, which is in Cleveland. And now a portion of their milk of their herd, just from their herd, is going to Saxon Creamery, where they're making this cheese specifically for them. So it's a one farm, one herd cheese. And I was just talking to Larry a couple weeks ago. He says that from the time the goats are milked to the time this milk is in the vat to make cheese is usually no longer than 2 hours.
Wow. Well, it's delicious.
Yeah. It has a real nice fresh taste.
Yes.
And that's because the milk is so fresh when they make it. I think a lot of times people have had a goat or a sheep's milk cheese that's been barnyardy. Mm-hmm. You know, you can taste the ram or the goat in there. And that's because the milk probably wasn't fresh when they made it. But this one, I think this is an exceptional. In fact, it just won a second place at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest in March.
Oh, and what's it called again?
It's called Evalon.
Evalon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's absolutely delicious. Now, obviously, cheesemakers can make a profit on producing these specialty cheeses or artisan cheeses.
Yeah. You know, for many years, you know, most of our cheesemakers were making commodity cheddars, Colbys, Monterey Jacks. And for the most part, they were making, you know, between 1 cent and 5 cents a pound because they were making them in bulk and selling them in bulk. And those days are really over for Wisconsin. I don't want to say over, but they're nearing the end because most of those bulk commodity cheese plants have moved to the Southwest and the West in the United States because they can source milk cheaper there. Mm-hmm. Labor is cheaper. And so what we have in Wisconsin is this has created this huge opening for artisan specialty cheeses. And not only that, but we've also, interestingly, in the last 5 years, become almost a mecca for goat and sheep dairy farmers. And right now we have the most dairy goats of any state in the nation.
Is that right?
Yeah, almost 40,000 dairy goats. And that's just a recent phenomenon. and that's because we have goat cheese factories opening in Wisconsin. Therefore, they're recruiting more dairy farmers to start milking goats. It's like this whole circle of innovation. And it's just been really fun to watch.
Well, goat. Just I don't know how familiar you are with farming and with goats, but obviously, they're not going to produce the amount of milk that a cow is going to produce.
Right, right. You know, people sometimes complain about the price of sheep and goat's milk cheese, and I tell them that there's one very important thing you have to remember that why these cheeses are more expensive. You know, an average cow will give between 6 and 8 gallons of milk a day. Okay, that's gallons. A goat will give between 3 and 5 quarts of milk a day. And a sheep, a really, really good dairy sheep, will give you a quart of milk a day.
Wow.
So.
Takes a lot of sheep to make.
Yeah, less milk means less cheese, and therefore it's going to sell at a premium.
Yeah, but Tell you what, a delicious premium there. Janie Carpenter, our guest today, as we talk with her about the artisan cheeses of Wisconsin. You have a cheese question or comment, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. You were recently part of an event where there was some pairing of cheeses and beer.
Yeah, I spent the weekend at the Kickapoo Country Fair, which is a festival sponsored, put on by Organic Valley at their headquarters in Lafarge. And in the last couple of years, this event has really grown. About 10,000 people show up to this thing. And it's a really interesting mix of folks. You have about 450 dairy farmers there and their families mm-hmm. who come to support the event. Then you have this mix of national, organic, and food industry experts who are giving panels, giving talks. And then you have this contingent of, I don't know, the old hippies, I don't know, the folks who don't pay their taxes, you know, those kind of folks show up. And it's an amazing mix of people. And so I did two seminars there. The first one was to about 100 people where I demoed four different cheeses, talked about the cheese renaissance going on in Wisconsin. You know, that went great. People were very polite and liked the cheeses. And then the next event was a 2.5-hour session with Mark Knoble from Sand Creek Brewing Company up in Black River Falls. And this event paired 10 beers with 10 different accompaniments, and 6 of them were cheeses. And I must say, by about the 8th glass of beer, I'm not remembering a whole lot what I said about the last two cheeses. But people were cheering when I exited the stage, so I guess that must have been okay.
Sounds like a lot of fun to me. Well, Becky in Juneau has a question or comment. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Good. Well, I'm interested in how you pronounce the name of the cheese that is spelled Mascarpone.
Oh, sure. That's.
And how do you say it?
Well, because I'm from Wisconsin, I say mascarpone. But if you
mascarpone,
yes.
Okay.
But if you're Italian, you're going to say mascarpone.
Oh, okay. All
mascarpone.
Right.
Mascarpone.
No R in the first syllable, so just mascarpone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Well, I was at Farm Technology Days last week, and the Crave Brothers Farm have used their own mascarpone cheese to make some of the desserts that were available that day. And they had a chocolate velvet torte that was to die for. And what a wonderful texture that cheese has. I just was so amazed with it, so I'm going to be looking for some and trying to recreate that torte.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little about mascarpone.
Sure. Well, Crave Brothers make a really unique mascarpone. It's a soft cheese. Usually you buy it in a tub. People usually use it for dessert dishes, for cheesecake, tiramisu. And the Craves have kind of perfected this, and they have a unique story because that's a farmstead cheese plant. And so when they're milking their cows, the milk is going piping directly to the cheese plant underground through stainless mm-hmm. steel pipes. So it's another one of those cases where, you know, the cheese is never more than a few hours old milk is never more than a few hours old. And so their mascarpone is one of the only real sweet cream mascarpones that's available in Wisconsin. And that's why I think she really liked that chocolate torte, because it makes it's sweet to begin with mm-hmm. and it's fresh.
Be thicker? Is theirs softer than other brands?
You know, I don't know about that. It is a very creamy cheese, but the thing that distinguishes it really is the sweetness.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, it was wonderful. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. And you can buy Crave Brothers mascarpone.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty widely available. Whole Foods, Trader Joe's.
Lots of places have it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Becky. Well, we'll take some more calls. But just a reminder, Janie Carpenter, our guest today, as we talk with her about the artisan cheeses of Wisconsin. Take a look at her blog. It's cheeseunderground.blogspot.com. She's got several thousand people tuning into clicking onto her blogspot every single day. Give us a call with your questions at 800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And let's take some more calls. Susan in Wausau, we turn to you now. Hi, Susan.
Hello. I just want to make a comment. Over the past few years, my husband and I have been acquainted with a cheese store in Minocqua and have been experiencing some wonderful cheeses, not always from Wisconsin, but many times. And we have never had the experience until then of eating a cheese that has a fine flavor, so fine that you don't need to have a huge chunk to get the satisfaction. And when your guest was talking about the expense of a fine goat cheese, we have found that you can buy an expensive cheese and it lasts a long time if you wrap it right and eat small pieces. You know, you get this wonderful flavor, and rather than having a chunk of Colby that doesn't have a lot of flavor, it's good, but you can enjoy these finer cheeses and afford them. Just don't eat as much.
Yeah. Good points, and thank you very much for calling, Susan. Janie, comment?
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, I think people walk into an artisan cheese shop and see cheeses for sale for, you know, $20, $30, $40 a pound and immediately think, oh, I can't afford those. You know, I'm going to go to the supermarket and buy my mild cheddar and my Colby. But the thing is with these artisan cheeses is that you don't need a lot to be satisfied to be really enjoyed. Like this Evalon that we were tasting, you know, I probably brought maybe a quarter of a pound with me. And that would last me. I've had that in my fridge, you know, for a couple weeks. That'll last me for, you know, another couple weeks. Because you only need a couple or three pieces to really feel, you know, to get the enjoyment out of it. So, yeah, that was a great point.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Roy in Wyoming. Roy, hello.
Hello.
Thanks.
How are you guys?
Well, great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
My wife and I love cheese, but I like really good cheese. And in Wyoming, it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
And right now I'm in Wisconsin on business, and I would just like to know a good place to pick some up. Right now I'm in almost Madison.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Well, so here we've got Roy almost to Madison,
and
looking for a place to buy some really good artisan cheeses. What do you recommend, Gene?
Sure. Well, in good news, Madison is a really great place to find cheeses. We've got, you know, Brennan's in town. We've got the Steve's Liquor that sells lots of good cheeses. Probably the premier place to buy cheese in Madison is Fermagination. It's an artisan cut and order cheese shop on the square. Just celebrate its second anniversary this fall. And Fermagination carries over 100 different types of artisan cheeses, two-thirds of which are from Wisconsin. So if he wants to find a really nice artisan cheese from Wisconsin, Fermagination is going to carry it.
And that's probably a pretty easy place to find because you'll be able to see our Capitol.
Yeah, it's right across from the Capitol on South Carroll Street.
Yeah, so you'll be able to get into town and get downtown to the Capitol and up on the square, and you'll find Fermagination.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Thank you, Roy. And let's go to Richard in Mequonago. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I'm a fan of one goat cheese that's made in Norway called Geitost cheese. Mm. It's a brown cheese. Very expensive, but where can I get it locally around Milwaukee area?
Oh, in Milwaukee? I would think that the Sendix stores would have it. Also, Larry's Market in Brown Deer should have Geitost. Larry's has hundreds of cheeses, both imports and national. They got their start with imported cheese, so I can't imagine that he wouldn't have that. And that's a great little shop in Brown Deer. It's not only a cut-to-order cheese shop, but an amazing deli, bakery. Every time I go there, I stock up on food for the next 2 weeks.
So there you have it, Richard.
Well, I write books about the Amish, and they are switching to goats. Mount Sterling is one of the creameries that they use, and I think the other one is in Wisconsin's old capital. I can't remember the name now.
Belmont, my hometown.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are those the only two facilities?
No, there's actually some more goat factories in Wisconsin. There's a big one that just built in Lancaster. A couple years ago called Woolwich. They're a Canadian company. They selected Wisconsin as their U.S. headquarters 2 years ago, and they're making quite a few goat's milk cheeses. So you have Woolwich in Lancaster, Mont Chevrey in Belmont, Mount Sterling, and then there's quite a few cheesemakers who are starting to make mixed milk cheeses. You know, Sid Cook is probably the most famous one. He's making about 75 different cheeses. Several of them are mixed milk. Several of them are just pure goat. In fact, he buys quite a bit of milk from the Quality Goat Cooperative, which Larry Hedrick runs. And so there's more and more goat cheeses being made in Wisconsin all the time.
Yeah. There you have it. Thanks, Richard.
Listened in today. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. We'll get you on the air. Dan and Marinette, we go to you. Hi, Dan.
Yes, hi, Larry. I had a question regarding mozzarellas, and I remember reading somewhere once that really, truly authentic mozzarella is made with water buffalo milk. And I remember actually reading about a cheesemaker in Vermont who had brought in a herd of water buffalo in Vermont. And I was just wondering if anyone in Wisconsin was doing something similar.
We do. We have one fellow who's near Plain, Wisconsin, the western central part of the state, who's actually currently assembling a herd of water buffalo as we speak. He's buying the water buffalo. He's bringing them to Wisconsin. He is building the parlor. And then his goal is to have Bob Wills at Cedar Grove Cheese make the fresh water buffalo mozzarella, which you're right, is the most traditional type of fresh mozzarella that there is. And so I think it's going to happen. You know, the guy's working his best to get water buffalo to Wisconsin. I think that's going to happen. That'll be exciting.
Okay. Have you ever tried any, have you ever had like a comparison between regular cow's milk mozzarella in this water buffalo mozzarella?
I haven't, because to get that fresh mozzarella, it doesn't really ship well. And so I've never had authentic water buffalo mozzarella living here in Wisconsin. I've had aged water buffalo cheese, which frankly I didn't care for. and I don't know if it was, it's hard to explain. I just didn't care for it that much. It had a real bitter taste, and I know in my palate that I do not like that bitter flavor. But I obviously some people somewhere have to like it, because you know Italy makes a lot of it.
That's for
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Dan.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it, Brian and Ashland. On to you now. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I've got a question. Years ago, when I lived in Brookfield, there was a small cheesemaker in Mapleton, somewhere between Brookfield and Oconomowoc, and they made a semi-soft cheese they called Bon Brie. And even after I moved to Southern California, I'd have it shipped to me. Now that I'm back in Wisconsin, I can't find them.
That would be because they no longer are in business.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that was like a Blue Brie cheese, right?
That was kind of yellow.
Yeah, that was a great cheese. That company, unfortunately, is no longer making cheese. But, you know, the closest cheese I have had to that lately is this new cheese by Hooks. And they call it Bloomin' Idiot. It's a blue cheese, but they don't punch it. They don't pierce it. And so the blue mold does not grow on the inside. It only grows on the rind.
Okay.
So the inside ends up really creamy. It's almost like a brie cheese. And then the blue mold's on the outside. And that is one of the most unusual cheeses I've had lately. And that's just available in the last couple of months, called Bloomin' Idiot.
And who's the cheesemaker?
Cheesemaker is Hook's Cheese in Mineral Point.
Okay.
Sounds good, too.
It does. Mm-hmm. I'll have to get some.
All right, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And Kathleen and Madison, on to you. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. Could you discuss how best to wrap and handle cheese so that it'll keep for weeks in the refrigerator without it spoiling?
Sure. If it's a, you know, a semi-hard or hard cheese, and that by that I mean like, you know, a cheddar, a parmesan, it can last for many, many weeks. The key is that you have to remember that cheese is a living organism. So every time that you unwrap a block of cheese and you cut off a piece and you're serving it, make sure that you get a brand new piece of Saran wrap and rewrap it in new Saran wrap. Now, there are folks who make cheese paper. It's very expensive. I have used that too, but I've had just as good luck using Saran wrap, as long as I always use a clean, fresh sheet every time I rewrap that cheese. And the other thing is that, you know, mold is going to grow on cheese if you don't use it. That's just the way it is because it's a living organism. And sometimes when people see mold on cheese, they immediately just toss the whole thing in the fridge. Don't ever do that. If it's a surface mold, you can just scrape it off with a knife blade. If it's, you know, one of those blocks of cheese that you sort of forgot about in the back of your fridge and, you know, the mold goes down like a quarter, half inch, just always make sure that you cut off the mold and then cut off about another quarter to half inch beyond that, and that cheese will last a long time.
I was just wondering about the plastic touching the cheese. Would it be wise to maybe wrap it in wax paper and then the saran wrap?
Sure, you can do that as well. The only thing that you might happen with that is that it might dry out because it's not doesn't have that close contact with the plastic. So if you're getting it out every day, every other day, and rewrapping it, that's probably your best bet.
Okay.
Grant, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Let's turn to Eileen in Iron County. Hi, Eileen.
Good morning.
Morning.
While in Switzerland a year ago, we were treated to a cheese, and the closest I can think of the name is something like Rekleck. It was a large wheel.
Oh, raclette.
Okay. Well, there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't far off.
Mm-hmm.
Is that available anywhere here?
You know, I'm pretty sure the Adel Weiss Creamery in Monticello is making a raclette cheese. I really want to say that I've seen that on the store shelves under Adel Weiss Creamery. And yeah, you're right. That's an authentic Swiss cheese. It has a flavor all of its own. In fact, 2 years ago at the American Cheese Society, a raclette made in the United States wasn't unfortunately in Wisconsin, but that won best of show out of, you know, 1,000 cheeses.
Oh.
So that particular cheese is actually making a resurgence in the United States, and it's easier to find than it used to be. But I think Adel Weiss Creamery is making a raclette.
Okay, and they had an apparatus that they put it on. And it would melt it slowly.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh.
And then you'd put it on potatoes or
yes.
However you want it. Oh, it was
yep.
Great.
Yeah, I have friends who have Swiss heritage, and they've told me about those. That apparently, I don't remember what they're called, but apparently you can still find them at auctions and such.
Oh.
Yeah, the first generation Swiss folks who came to Wisconsin brought those with them. Yeah. They're apparently really cool. I've never seen one, but I'm not Swiss, so we didn't have one
either,
in my house.
We certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eileen.
Okay, thank you.
And on to Lynette and Hubertus. Hi, Lynette.
Hi. I wanted to follow up with the call the gentleman had regarding the cheesemaker in Mapleton that no longer exists.
Yeah.
That cheese was called Bon Brie, and it did not fit the description of what your guest was speaking of. This cheese was more on the order of Colby Longhorn, kind of had the taste and texture of a really fresh curd, a cheese curd, but it had holes in it, real small holes like a Colby Longhorn would, and it was a lighter, creamy color, but it wasn't molded. It wasn't a spreadable cheese like a brie would be. Mm. It was more of a hard cheese.
Mm.
And I was wondering if there was anything comparable, because yeah, they've been out of business for a good many years now.
Yeah, I guess I can't really think of anything that really fits that description. That's probably a hole for a Wisconsin cheesemaker to fill.
Yeah.
Start making that type of cheese again.
I don't. Yeah, I have no idea either. Sorry, we can't help you out on that one, Lynette. But thanks for calling anyway. Appreciate your call. And on to Linda in Sugar Camp next. I believe we'll go right there now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you.
Can you tell me what cheeses you would recommend for a person with lactose intolerance?
Yes, I can, because I have that issue myself.
Hmm.
And so what I can tell, I don't want to speak, you know, I'll speak in general terms, because in my experience, people's level of lactose intolerance varies greatly.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I have a fairly mild case. But generally, if you are eating a cheese that's about 3 months old or older, most, if not all, of the lactose is going to be gone from that cheese by then. So you stick to aged cheeses, hard cheeses, aged cheddars, parmesans, gruyeres. If it's a type of cheese that you can pick it up and it doesn't squish, that's generally a type of cheese that you can eat. And those are the cheeses that I tend to stick with. I can't eat a lot of fresh cheeses, like an imported Brie or Camembert or a fresh Chev.
Yeah.
I love those cheeses, but they just don't agree with me.
Yeah,
but stick to the aged cheeses and you should have some better luck.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And speaking of aged cheeses, we have a 10-year-old aged cheddar. I've got to have a bite of that cheddar before we're finished.
Yeah.
Here.
So the first thing, obviously, the listeners can't see this, but I'm going to show this to Larry, is that on the edge of this cheese, and quite often on an aged cheddar, you see some white.
Yeah.
Some white on there. And I have to say, until a few years ago, I thought that was mold. Mm-hmm. And I think most people think that's mold, and most people will scrape that off. What it actually is it's actually the calcium lactate crystals rising to the surface. And there are these, when you have a real aged cheddar cheese, sometimes you'll notice this crunch in it. And those are calcium lactate crystals rising to the surface. So I always tell people, don't scrape those off. Don't cut that off. Because that's really the best part of the cheese.
Oh, man. The flavor just bursts in your mouth.
Yeah, this is a 10-year cheddar. And so, I do have to mention this, that the Hooks really, they age their cheeses the right way. When they say they have a 10-year cheddar, that means it's been sitting in their cooler for 10 years. There are bigger cheese plants around the country who sell, 10, 15, I've even seen 20-year cheddars. And I have serious doubts. In fact, I've talked to people who have confirmed this, that those cheeses are not actually 17, 20 years old. What they're doing is they are increasing the aging process. So they're speeding it up. And so they think it tastes like a 20-year cheddar. But I have severe doubts that cheese is actually 20 years old. The oldest cheese that I like that I've tasted is a 17-year cheddar by Joe Widmer, who keeps a chunk in his cooler and occasionally gets a piece out. And that's really good stuff. But the you can't beat Hook's 10-year cheddar.
That's wonderful. Dan in Partyville, we go to you now. Hi, Dan.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I like to grill out a lot. My wife and I grill out all the time, and every once in a while we'll go to Whole Foods and we'll pick up a goat cheese from Greece that you can actually put on the grill. It's a consistency of fresh mozzarella. It doesn't burn, it doesn't melt, but it absorbs the smoke flavor, and it's just delicious. Is there anything from Wisconsin that is like that? I can't remember the name of it even.
Sure. I don't think we have a goat cheese like that, or I could be mistaken, but there's about three or four companies making a cow's milk cheese like that, and it goes under several names. It's traditionally a Finnish cheese, so if they're using the Finnish name, it'll be called Ustalipa, and that starts with a J. It's like J-U-U-S-T-O-L-E-I-P-A.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's other companies like, I know Brunkow Cheese in Darlington, they make this Ustalipa type cheese. They call theirs Brunosto. Bronco and Usto, they combined it. Sid Cook, Car Valley, makes a cheese. He calls his bread cheese. That's what Ustalipa translates into English, is bread cheese. So it's really cool. You get it looks kind of like a big slice of, bread. And then it's just like you said, you put it on a grill or a hot plate and it doesn't melt. It just gets softer and it toasts.
It's real fragrant. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Ustalipa.
Yep. Ustalipa.
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 Yeah, not Oompa Loompas. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Stella in Sturgeon Bay, we're on to you. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I'm calling in response to Roy, I believe it was, from Wyoming, who is visiting Wisconsin and mentioned that he has trouble getting wonderful cheeses back home in Wyoming.
Yep.
I wanted to let him know that there are two of our favorite sources for cheese. We order over the internet. One is from Sartori Food Corporation, and I believe that would be sartorifoods.com, but I'm not sure. And that's my favorite cheese. My favorite cheeses from them are their Sarvecchio and their Bella Vitano is absolute bliss.
Yeah, I just actually bought a case of their raspberry Bella Vitano.
Oh.
Like on a whim. I bought an entire case of the stuff. It's an addicting cheese. It's a she's right. Their Bella Vitano, it's a signature cheese. It's really hard to describe. So it's a harder cheese, but the raspberry Bella Vitano, they actually wash in raspberry ale from New Glarus Brewing Company.
Oh goodness.
And it's addicting. I mean I have like 12 pounds in my fridge right now. And I've been giving it to everybody. In fact, I just gave some to my bug guy who came and, you know, the bug guy that comes to your house about every 4 months and kills the spiders in my basement. I'm like, I have to get rid of this cheese. I'm like, Bernie, you want some raspberry Bella Vitano? He took two chunks. So, and then, you know, I gave some to my neighbor and they came back for more. So a case of raspberry Bella Vitano does not last that long.
Yeah. I describe it as being like the taste, having the same, very similar flavor to the heart of the Sarvecchio, which is a Parmesan, but softer and creamier.
Yeah, that's more flavor. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
And the other source of my husband's favorite cheeses is from Wisconsin Organics, and their website is www.wiorganics.com.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And both Sartori, you have to order via mail, but you can get their order form off the internet, and then you fill it out and you send it along with a check. And Wisconsin Organics, you can order over the web. And both of them do air shipping, and I'm sure that you can continue, Roy, to enjoy Wisconsin cheese when you're back in Wyoming.
Right. Thank you, Stella.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. And someone else emailed in to say that Bon Brie that we were talking about, they think it was a mild brick. And they say Widmer's.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Mild brick from Teresa, Wisconsin,
okay.
is similar to the Bon Brie.
Right. Well, I have to admit that Bon Brie was a little bit before my time entering, it hasn't been gone that long, but before my time of entering the cheese-making business. So I've only ever heard about it, and people just, you know, sort of go on, you know, romantically about this cheese that no longer exists. So, yeah, we have to get a Wisconsin cheesemaker making this again.
I'm absolutely amazed that that they're out of business, given the amount of interest that we're hearing. Well, Jeannie, it's always a pleasure. I thank you so much for being with us again today. And tell us again, you've got the Wisconsin Cheese Originals Annual Festival, not until November, but tickets going on sale pretty soon.
Yeah, tickets are going on sale in a couple of weeks, actually. Members of Cheese Originals get first chance at tickets. Everything's selling in advance. I really think things are going to sell out. So, tickets go on sale to members August 11th and to the general public on the 18th. And I should say, though, with the website, it's wicheesefest.com. And everything's going to be on sale online.
Wicheesefest.com.
Yep.
And in the meantime, they can also go to cheeseunderground.com for your blog.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Hope you'll come back.
Oh, sure. I always have cheese.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Jeannie Carpenter of Oregon, Wisconsin. She's been blogging about cheese for the past 3 years, launched an organization called Wisconsin Cheese Original. She's got her blog going, cheeseunderground.blogspot.com. That's cheeseunderground.blogspot.com. She has several thousand people following her blog. And, you know, somebody who probably uses quite a bit of Wisconsin artisan cheeses, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, is Wayne Kasparik, who is chef and co-owner with his wife Jane of The Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin. And we'll be talking with him about French food with a Southwest and a Cajun twist. Coming up next year on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.